From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. News came this week that Alphabet's self-driving car unit Waymo has been operating and will now expand public use of a small fleet of self-driving minivans all in the city of Phoenix. Sound kind of familiar? Earlier this year, Uber threw its self-driving cars onto a truck and sent that truck also to Phoenix. Why Phoenix? Well, it's a city in a state that Uber found more friendly than California, where it ran afoul of the California Department of Motor Vehicles. Funny story, we were just in Phoenix reporting on the growing tech scene there, and I was talking to Brian Sherman, Senior Vice President of Business Development at the Arizona Commerce Authority. I was asking him about the government's efforts to be friendly to new technology in the Valley of the Sun.
Within autonomous vehicles, there are other communities in the country that have had concerns and are kind of...
California. You're talking about California.
They're taking a conservative approach, and they're concerned about how the technology rolls out and the implications. And we are concerned as well, and safety will always be of the utmost concern. But I think our governor has led us in a way that's made it real clear that we're open for business here. So within reasonable safety constraints, we want companies to consider Arizona as a place where they can test and develop new technology.
I asked Brian Sherman what else his organization is doing in Phoenix to support innovation.
So we focus on talent, capital, and market conditions. And we also are a technology-based economic development organization.
And what does that mean?
Focusing on companies that can scale. Companies that have proprietary technology or intellectual property. And primarily their customer base, their market is external to Arizona. So they're export based. They're selling outside of Arizona in addition to Arizona customers. So we are focused on companies that can scale and grow quickly.
Can you give me an example?
So companies from the size of Intel and Motorola, our rich heritage in semiconductor to aerospace, Honeywell, Raytheon, big companies like that, to companies that start with an idea, a small software company that can be up and running in literally a couple of weeks, but then will scale quickly as they get customers from around the world and hire people and generate a lot of revenue and everything in between.
The Arizona Commerce Authority gives $3 million annually to new companies as part of the Arizona Innovation Challenge. And by the way, we did talk to a few startups while we were in the city. You'll hear more about them in the coming days. All this week, we are exploring hacktivism, as in hackers using their digital toolkits to push forward a social agenda or create real political change. Well, one kind of infamous hacking organization from recent history is a group called Lulzec. The group claimed credit for pulling the CIA's website offline and for stealing user logins from Sony Pictures some years back. The leader of that group was a user named Sabu, real name Hector Monsiger. Hector's done his time. He was arrested and convicted for hacking and served time in jail. Now he's the director of Rhino Security Labs, a company that helps businesses assess cybersecurity threats so they can plan to combat them. It's an example of the kind of revolving door that exists in this space. Sometimes politically motivated hackers grow up and enter the corporate world as security experts. Hector is here to talk about all of this. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Do you feel like Lulzec was a hacktivist organization, and do you accept the criticism that Lulzec was a criminal organization?
At the time, we kind of aligned ourselves to hacktivism and Anonymous. I mean, we were hacktivists in the core. Some of the stuff that we did wasn't necessary. When we hacked into Sony, for example, we were putting a point there. Not that Sony had bad security. That was kind of a given. But they had a situation where they were suing a security researcher. And we felt that, you know, we could retaliate in a way. I mean, in hindsight, it was not a good reason. It was not our battle. But we did it anyway.
Do you think hacktivism is important?
It really depends. There's a lot of context that people miss when it comes down to hacking. The Arab Spring, for many of us, that was the first time you got to see a revolution. And then it was a revolution that happened on the internet, which is insane. And the fact that we could participate with the protesters on the street by hacking and disrupting the Tunisian government, for example, that was major. So now the next question there would be, do you think that what you did in Tunisia served a purpose? And the answer to that is, I don't know, because Tunisia is not in a good place right now.
Yeah.
So what did I really do? Did I help the cause or did I hurt the cause?
It sounds like what you're saying, and I haven't really thought about this, the most consistent result of hacking and hacktivism is chaos.
From my personal experience, yes. If we could get together in a grassroots environment, face-to-face, and go speak with a local community board to try to change some sort of policy, I'm for that. But when you're using hacking to disrupt a government without an understanding of all the consequences, that's when I start to feel like there's a lot more chaos and sense.
Hector Monsiger, he is the founder of the hacker group Lulzsec and current director of Rhino Security. Hector, thanks a lot for talking with me today.
Not a problem. Thank you.
Hey, we want to hear from you. What do you think about hacktivism? Is it a force for good in the world or a force multiplier for chaos? You can tweet us. We're at Marketplace Tech, or write us, marketplacetech@marketplace.org. And before we go, you heard us talking today a bit about Uber and self-driving cars. Well, the company also unveiled plans this week to get into flying cars, which, yes, you heard about another startup doing flying cars, Kitty Hawk, earlier this week as well. All of this flying self-driving vehicle stuff is going to happen so soon, claim the people working on it. I'm skeptical. When it rains tech optimism, it pours. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.